What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/stereo. netsuite.com/stereo.
You know, I mentored Sean Merriman. So when I saw the commercial hit, I was like, dang, you got Sean dogging cats, but then here comes Steve grabbing the ball, and that's you.
And it's goosebumps because you talk about the concept of it and what we're trying to show, the grind from week to week, seasons, you know, through the fall, through the winter, right? Regardless, indoor,
the weather was changing on.
No, yeah, exactly, right?
Right.
But every week, you got to grind.
Up on Game presents Conversations with a Legend. And now, here's LeVar Arrington.
Welcome to another exciting edition of Conversations with a Legend, presented to you by Up on Game Presents. I got my man, the esteemed tailback. I mean, if that's what you want to call him, some people might call him a freight train. Big dog. Got my man, Steve Jackson, with me on the show. Appreciate you coming in, joining the show, man, having a conversation with you. How's life been, man? How you doing?
Well, thank you, first of all, for having me, man. I grew up a huge fan of yours. When I was in high school, I watched you at Penn State. So I appreciate this conversation that we're about to have. But I'm doing good, man. You know, I look at the game, I just marvel about what we were able to accomplish ourselves, because you realize all the things that's not in your control. When you're in that huddle, you think you are.
Right, right. Yeah. So you're from Vegas, Vegas cat. Did you, like, tell me about that experience? Like, is it just born in Vegas? Did you move around? Like, what's your background? What's the upbringing? What was that like?
No, so I'm born and raised in Las Vegas, one of the few. And, you know, my mom and dad are from Arkansas. Dad did some time in the military. And once he got back from the war, Vietnam War, they moved across the country. You know, he said $60 and a car full of stuff and moved out west, heard they were hiring in Vegas. Got a gig on the Strip. He and my mom both found jobs on the Strip during the New Year's time. You know, you up employment, expecting for the crowds. And then back then, you know, stuck around. 35 years later, he worked his way up from an entry-level job of being a porter to being a casino manager. And, nice. You know, that's when, you know, family-owned and people are, you know, able to move up the corporate ladder, so to speak.
Sure. I mean, what was that like, man? Like, growing up in Vegas, like, people think of the Strip. People think of so many different things. You know, football doesn't come to mind. I mean, you might think of the Running Rebels or something like that from UNLV. But football, you don't say, huh, Vegas. I mean, I know Bishop Gorman is there, and I know that they've had some good football. But, I mean, what's that like? What's football like there?
No, it was, you know, football here growing up especially was very low profile. It wasn't a big scene. And now that, you know, you have some of these national names that you reference, you know, the exposure is getting out there. But growing up when I was here, no, I mean, it's city living, getting in outside all day, but getting in before dark and very little fields to work on your craft, so to speak. So I was a kid, man. I just ran hills, ran some of the mountains around here. Put in a lot of work on bleachers back then, you know, that kind of stuff. And I was just dedicated to what I thought or what was the escape for me. And the reality was, it wasn't much going on. The city was only really for adults at that time, so you couldn't go on the strip as a kid. And the other stuff he had going on, you know, I was fortunate enough to come from a two-parent household, so my dad wouldn't let me get involved in that. So my escapism was the football field.
I could dig that. You're a big bat. You are a big, and you talk about being a fan of me. I was a fan of you watching you tote the rock for the Beavers, man. And all I could remember was, I want to hit him. Like, I want to play against this dude because you were explosive, you were fast, and your type of back, I mean, there's really like a handful of guys that you can say were the type of back that you were. That, you know, you throw Eddie George up into the mix of that. I mean, there's a few more that you know you could kind of throw out there, but you were a break the mold type of back. When you were coming out, you said high school ball was relatively low-key and obscure. How were you recruited? I mean, because the size and the speed and the athleticism, I mean, you had to be a top-rated guy coming out, right?
Yeah, I was in the recruiting. And that back then, you know, those little books, magazines.
Tom Lemming and all, Athlons.
Right. Yeah. But never to the esteem point of national notoriety. So, you know, schools like Nebraska recruited me, but they saw me as a defender, you know, more as a linebacker. And, you know, the other bigger schools here on the West Coast, you had UCLA with Deshaun Foster at the time, and they just wasn't winning. And so when I was coming out of high school, USC was down. My freshman year at Oregon State was Pete Carroll's first year at SC. Mm-hmm. So that dominance of South, you know, Southern California just wasn't prevalent when I was getting ready to come out and have a scholarship. So the Northwest and me wanting to be in the Pac-10 kind of was locked in, and it was like a destiny. Coach Erickson, which I knew his work from Miami Hurricanes. Sure. He came to my house, gave me the pitch of his life and my life, and a lot of things that he said to me made sense. He had two senior running backs and no one to kind of stake claim to who's going to be the next guy. Mm-hmm. And I just jumped at the opportunity. You know, I bet on myself. I believed in my talent that given other underclassmen, I could compete.
You were a terror.
Yeah.
how was that? You know, a lot of times people have to overcome a lot of elements when they leave from high school to college. I too was a tailback. I was a big back, and I was the opposite. I wanted to play defense. I was getting recruited to play tailback, and I didn't want to play tailback. I just feel like the game can be taken out of your hands, and it could be put into somebody else's or into something else, and you could be rendered, you know, kind of a non-factor. And I really didn't like – I liked action. I needed action every play. For you going to school, I mean – you chose it. Coach Erickson gave the pitch of his life. You end up there, and you didn't have to wait long from what I can recall. You were right in the mix of it, and you were making an impact. What was that like for you? Like, was there any major challenges that were unforeseen? Like, people look at what you were able to do, but then they sit there and be like, you know, it probably comes easy for him. He probably never had to struggle because he was bigger, stronger, faster than everybody that he was going up against.
Yeah, no. So I think the challenge was just getting my due. As you stated, freshman year, I played as the true freshman. I backed up two seniors. And the opportunity that I recall is, you know, playing special teams and making an impact there. And then that's when I started really buying into it. It's a team sport, right? Because to your point, it did come easy until I got to the college level. And when I started realizing the impact of what you can have on a game if you put in the right positions and then have the opportunities, it started to click a little bit. But then when the two senior guys went down against USC in the Coliseum and I was thrown in the fire, it was more so of showing my commitment and love for the game. You know, I often reference to I'm an old school in mind because I studied you guys so much. I knew everything about you all because I wanted to eventually be you. Mm-hmm. So with that respect for the game and my knowledge of the game, it was my opportunity when these two guys went down in the Coliseum. I felt like it was just it was a divine intervention, so to speak, and that was my chance.
I mean, I've never been to Oregon State. You know, I'm tight with TJ. We do a show. I make fun of him a lot, like, Oregon State, this and that. But y'all be producing some ballers out of there. What was did the success on field equate to, you know, pressures or an interesting life as it applied to you guys, you know, for you in particular, off the field?
That's an interesting question. I believe, yeah, it's one of those, it's a small town, small college town, very friendly people, but it's still somewhat, it's not, it doesn't have quite the diversity of some of these other larger campuses has, right? So in so to speak, when you're 1 or 2% of the population of what campus is, you come recluse to each other, and you got to lean on each other for experience and to make sure you're not tripping, right? Like, this is what I went through today. Did you experience this, or have you had that happen to you? And it's kind of like it's when you come back to neutral and you feel like, okay, all right, I'm not tripping. This is the experience of what I am, of what I'm going through here in the state of Oregon or on campus. Largely because sometimes, what I experienced, okay, is that people want to help. But in helping, they kind of drown your voice out because, you know, they can't quite live in your shoes and through your lens. So although I was this big star athlete on campus, there still was some experiences that I lacked from what I grew up with and was used to. So in that setting, it makes you all ball important. It makes the emphasis of family and leaning on one another even more, you know, bolded, because it's really what you're living out. Training for the game is what you're living out in your college experience, hoping, you know, to take advantage of the opportunity.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially when your social gathering's picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. We all have had experiences where if you get that help, it helps you get through, whether it's talking to somebody you love or talking to someone professional. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with licensed therapists and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GamePresents today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GamePresents.
The holidays have arrived early this year. Why wait until fall when you can get Black Friday prices now during Blinds.com's annual Spring Black Friday sale? Blinds.com's the better way to get custom window treatments totally online. No waiting around all day for salespeople to show up or dealing with inflated showroom prices. Upgrading your window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters, motorized options. We have your patio covered for spring too. And Blinds.com's free design experts will help you find the perfect window treatments for your home. We'll even send free samples. You can even get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Plus, free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now for the best deals of the season. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Who was your person? You know, like that's a great, it's a great answer and it's respectable, but you and I know we be dealing with a whole lot. Like there's those moments of, even if you're doing well, there's moments of like uncertainty, you know, frustration, you know, excitement. There's so many different emotions that, especially when you're the star, you know. Who was your person? Was it a teammate? Was it, my person was on the track team, and it was a lady lion that ran, and we were best friends. We knew each other since high school. Wasn't a loving basketball type of story. It wasn't like that, but that was my person. I had the Ricky moment, like, I'm tired of this. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I done fell to my knees, bro. I'm crying. Like I don't understand why things are going this way. And I can remember her talking me off the ledge, like, let's jump back in our books. When all else fails, you know, your education is the key, and just keep believing in yourself. Did you have a person that when you had your moments, that was like that person that you talked about, the community and drawing close? Who was your person?
So it was a senior running back. His name was Ken Simonson. And he's the school all-time leading rusher, right? So I was fortunate enough to not only play for a guy that broke a lot of records and kind of set the standard for myself, but also he was a Pittsburgh, California guy, that Bay Area, and he had some sense. He actually made me start looking at the world in a broader term, right? I wasn't just laser-focused on just thinking about football singularly. And he would probe these questions, or he'd point out the history of what we were living through. And he was, you know, bringing that kind of awareness to myself. So I was fortunate enough to have a senior running back pour into me so early, because he saw the potential. You know, I was humble. You know, I was willing to put in the work, but at the same time, I was a sponge, and he fed into that in the right way.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna transition on you. The Pac, you said the Pac 10. Then it went to the Pac-12. That 10 came and took UCLA and USC. Now y'all are going to go back to the Pac-10. You're watching it take place. I'm going to talk to you about NIL, because obviously we're going to get to the commercial, one of the most legendary commercials ever shot as well. We're going to touch on that and how multifaceted you are, but talk to me about what you feel about the Pac. Can it survive? Where you think things are going?
Yeah, it's
going
to be interesting. I think it will survive, just the sheerness of the population. And people are proud of their schools, just like anywhere else in the country. Disappointed, USC and UCLA, they kind of pull the rug from underneath us, where in a year or two, you're going to have negotiation regarding new contract money. And right now, it looks like you're so far behind the SEC and some of these other conferences because of their licensing and their TV rights, but you're not given the consideration that the Pac was the first ones to do a TV deal, right? So you're ahead of yourself at a time where now the market's surpassed us, and it's just about having a correction. But more importantly, where I think they really lost sight of it is regionally, right? You're not securing the best talent in California or in the southern western states because some of our best talent's being poached by the SEC. So, you know, if you think about it in terms of politics, you're not securing your own borders. So how can you then say, okay, we're the ones that's carrying the conference, and you move on to another conference as alliance, where you're not doing anything or doing the best that we could to work together as a conference to secure that we keep our best talent regardless of where they go on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. So that's, I mean, what do you think happens? Do USC, UCLA going into the 10, are they able to recruit better? What does that mean for Oregon State? What does that mean for Oregon? I mean, what does that mean for the Pac now in terms of that idea of what the recruitment of the players looks like, especially in the areas that you guys are in?
Right. So if I'm Oregon State, if I'm on this committee or this board, and we're talking about how are we going to attract new talent, it's to do exactly what we kind of hit on. You look inwardly and you think about self-reflection. We want to bring some of these top athletes in from these areas that is obviously being abandoned. We need to go in there and have a real conversation with them and their families. You know, This is what it looks like now, but this is what you can help us build towards the future. As well as we're going to allow you to play, we're going to allow you to play early as long as your talent does so and your grades reflect that. But also we're going to make sure that your family is involved on how we're going to help you build a brand for yourself, or how to help you go out into the larger world and deal with that. These hurdles that come before us. It's not just about building alliances, but it's about working through issues and problems with other people. And we could best give you that example here, because more than likely it's not going to be your normal life or what you've been used to.
All right, before I get up out of college, I got to ask you, NIL, because we're going to talk about how you have been almost, in essence, you know, you have been active, proactive, almost like a savant, and being more than just a football player. We'll get to that as we move into the next level of your life in this conversation. But NIL, if the NIL is there while Steve Jackson is in college, what does that look like for you?
Oh, I think I set myself apart. You know, what these kids call, you know, a content creator or one of these Renaissance people is leading the way. I think that's what I would have been in those shoes, you know, because I understand how to storytell. I understand that, you know, everyone doesn't get to live these realities that we had the chance to, and how to package that in a way that it's approachable. I have a gift for that.
Mm-hmm. You always have. So let's delve into that. You end up going as a high draft pick. You go to the Rams. The Rams was still a hot team at the time, still in St. Louis. And, hell, I can remember playing against y'all, and you were the guy. What was that experience like for you in terms of you marketing and branding yourself, and how did that play a part in your popularity? Because you grew to popularity really quickly coming into the league. And, you know, obviously, again, if we were to say St. Louis, the St. Louis Rams, they were like the popular team. People would be like, really? Like, everybody's thinking L.A. these days. But that was a vibe back then to be on the Rams. And you were on that I want to say the last of the Mohicans before it went bad, kind of sort of, for St. Louis, and they ended up leaving. So what was that like for you, being that, like, you took over the mantle? Like, it wasn't going to be easy to do it with Marshall Faulk being the guy he was, and you know, Arlen was up in the mix at a point in time. But what was that like for you?
A huge challenge. You know, everything you said was it was an upward hill battle, because, you know, you have two-time offensive MVP in Marshall and some of the other things he was able to accomplish.
While he was still there.
He was still there, being, you know, and here I come. I'm not clean cut. You know, I had these long hair, tattoos. So I looked the polar opposite of what they've grown to love. And For me to come in and challenge that, it wasn't going to be easy. And it wasn't. You know, they had their opinions on me. And what I did know, and what was always driven in me from high school, was we reflected on, is I was a hard worker. It was the why I got a chance to escape. So regardless of how beat writers wrote about me or how fans felt about this new kid trying to take their favorite player's job, I knew that if I continue to just consistently work hard and just show up, they eventually get to see the other side of me.
Yeah,
and that's eventually what I just did, you know. And it almost made even more sense, because blue collar people are that way. You know, my work ethic reflected what their life really is.
Yeah.
It made their guard come down, and it made me, I guess, seem more approachable.
Have you ever heard, because when I first was seeing you, you were big. You did have the dreads. You did have the tats. And I was a dread, too, so I know all about it. I see you going back down the journey as well. I don't know how far you're going to go with it, but.
Yeah, it won't go that far.
It won't go that far. You had your mane. You had the tats. And look. They who win the war write the history, right? That's all you see. That's all you see now. Like, so in so many ways, you're a pioneer. I mean, if you look at Henry, that's a carbon copy in terms of big, rocked up, fast, tats, dreads, right? Like, you're a pioneer. How does that feel now, knowing that you had to do that uphill battle? It's almost like, in a way, it's almost like a AI type of scenario, right? Because you were the first one. Like, literally, I could say confidently, you could think about, like, them you boys, like Najee, Davenport, and a few of them, Edger and James, but they weren't larger than life figures coming in. It wasn't like this big, tall, ginormous running back, tats and dreads, and he's out on them. Like, what was that like for you now, when you look at where the game is, the culture of the game now? What, you know, how does that make you feel?
You know, it makes me feel good, because it means that I did my part, right? You know, not only did I, you know, help breaking into the day-to-day Sunday football watchers television set, you know, because you're talking about the commercials and things, sure, like that, right? I was able to be on the spearhead of that, but also, I guess I handled myself in a way that they didn't have those stereotypes you want to put on that look, or what you want to assume about that person that looks, mm-hmm, like, you know, what I look like. I broke those. I helped break some of those doors down to make, now that these guys are getting contracts and these commercials, and not having that second thought of what I knew I faced in the boardroom. It just it proves that I did my job.
So let's talk about that. Led to endorsements, knocking down the doors. I just had this conversation with my homie yesterday, so I'm real tight. You know, I mentored Sean Merriman. So when I saw the commercial hit, I was like, dang, like, hardest commercial to this day. It's still the hardest one to this day. The Last of the Mohicans I referenced earlier, they're playing the theme music from the movie. You got Sean dogging cats, but then here comes Steve grabbing the ball and rolling out and doing what he's doing, and that's you. How does that, I mean, in the moment, I'm sure it's like, man, that's a pretty cool commercial. But where you are now, how do you look at a moment like that? Like, how do you internalize that you're part of one of the most iconic Nike commercials ever shot?
And it's goosebumps. I remember in college, we used to get some of the prototype cleats, right? And we would get these shoes given to us and practice in. And it was like, damn, if I could just sign a deal with Nike one day, that would be like one of the freshest, dopest moments that I, you know, man. But then to then fast forward to be one of the part of the most iconic commercials, the marketing, it changed the way football commercializes itself and how it pushes the products. But to be, you know, that prototype, that, I mean, it outlasts me, my time on this earth. So it's dope. It's dope, but it's very humbling, because I remember just wanting to get some free product as a college entry.
Right. Kid. Yeah. Right.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Brakes? We can save you 15% on that. We have OE quality Duralast brake pads and rotors in stock, ready for pickup or delivery. We also have calipers, brake fluid, tools, and anything else you'll need to do the job right. When you get Duralast pads and rotors together, you'll save 15%. It's just part of what makes us America's number one brakes destination.
How does that make you feel to know, again, that guys, you know, it's always who can come up with something next? Like, where does the next game-changing content comes from? How does that make you feel to know that that's a standard? Like, guys are still probably influenced by that commercial. How does that, like, that's got to be a cool feeling.
It is, you know, because you talk about the concept of it and what we're trying to show is the grind from week to week, seasons, you know, through the fall, through the winter, right? Regardless, indoor,
the weather was changing on.
No, yeah, exactly, right?
Right.
But every week, you got to grind. And, you know, with Merriman, you got the pressure of him breathing down your back, or you got the pressure of me running, ready to run, trying to bring you over.
Right.
Who's going to stop you? And then next week, the challenge only becomes even greater. So for us to be able to convey that in less than a minute, you know, we still able to talk about it nearly 20 years later. I was happy that we put in the effort that we did, because we talked about it, right? As you talk about it, you're like, I want this to be dope. I want people to remember this. So for us to go and put that kind of commitment in and deliver on that, it means that we're going to stick around for a long time.
Truth. Yeah. Let's stay in that area in terms of branding yourself, in terms of being more. You have always proactively been more. Like, I always say, I'm a guy that played football. I'm not a football player. I've never been a football player. I've always been a dude that played ball, and I actually was good at doing it, and I love doing it, but I never subscribed to, I'm the jersey number on my back. I'm you know, this is what I am. I'm a football player. Like, I love the game. I love what it's done for me. But I was always proactively trying to leverage the game and what it represented to ultimately become what I wanted to be. I saw that in you. I saw you, you know, doing a lot. I know you did the boot camp, the media boot camp at one point in time. I know you were doing, you know, media and different things like that. How has that gone for you? And what was your approach in terms of building your brand and being, you know, I heard you mention a Renaissance type of guy. Why was that a mindset for you? How did you approach it, and where are you with that now today?
Yeah. So it's the click, the ball, I guess, started rolling and things started clicking for me when times start getting bad in St. Louis, right? Okay. You're not on Monday Night Football. You're not in the prime time spots. And the things that you're accomplishing is kind of being just read or a small bleep in a paragraph, right? Yeah. And I was like, holy crap. Now, if I don't get control of the narrative, now people say now, but if I don't get control of this narrative, I'm quickly going to be a memory. And so I then start going back to what you lived in your journey is actually you started pulling from that as inspiration. And the two things that I lived through in Vegas, always promoting itself as being one of the greatest cities to escape to, always promising some type of reward for risk, right? Mm-hmm. And then when I got to Oregon, I saw how Nike was just such a dominant force in the sports world. I started thinking about, okay, how do I bring these two together for myself? And I did that by shooting a documentary. I did the documentary called The Week in the Life, you know, and it's telling the story, again, more intimate level. And I shot that, and we released that on YouTube. And when I saw how much interest I got, you know, I was up for what was called a Webby between The Onion, LA Times, and myself. So I'm like, whoa, I'm on to something here. Now, how do I stick to it? And as I continue to study it and continue to evolve, as you said, the Hollywood boot camp things, start leaning out and leveraging the game that I felt was taken from us and abuse of body, I started leveraging what it was offering to me to grow myself intellectually and in different rooms I couldn't get in on my own.
Hmm. So where are you at with it now?
Well, now I have my own clothing brand that I'm rocking.
OBS.
OBS, yes. Hmm. And yeah, and the website is obsbrand.com, so thank you for that.
All right.
But the brand, what the brand is overcoming the BS of life.
Right? Okay.
So we're all going to have some issues. We're all going to grow up through some things that have traumatized us as kids. There's going to be some hurdle that you believe either gender's holding you back or your ethnic race is holding you back. There's going to be rooms you're going to be uncomfortable in, but you got to navigate that for yourself. No one's going to come save you.
True.
You got to be able to navigate. You got to be able to not only communicate your story, but also your strengths. What can you provide in that room to be a favor? And once you get that and realize how you make those connections in the room, how do you deliver on that? And I continue to just I just impress on the younger generation because I love dealing with younger athletes.
Okay.
I love dealing with high school students. But because at that point, it's so pivotal. You could go left or right. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to impress on them that, you know, continue to be uncomfortable because the moment you're in the smartest one in the room or you're the one, the biggest success in the room, you're outgrown that room. You got to continue to look for how do I overcome the next circumstance in my life. Mm-hmm. So, motivational. I sold clothes in high school to get by, but it's helping tell the story and motivating that next generation to keep going.
True. I love that. So OBS, make sure you go to OBS brand. That is.
Yes, sir.
OBSbrand.com.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Make sure y'all go. We'll put that up and push that out. Looking at the league now, what's your take on it? Because it was still bang bang, you know, back then. It was still a whole lot more physicality connected to it. You were just talking about, you know, some of the things that you got to get addressed, you know, health wise and stuff like that before we even started the interview. Bro, we was thumping back then. Like, it was bump and grind back then. The game still has some dogs, but largely it's a changed approach. It's a changed physicality total overall to how the game is played. How you think you would have done in today's NFL?
I think just the sheerness of they don't hit in practice, right? I think that saves and probably lengthen my career another two or three seasons. Where, you know, I had some of these coaches, they're coming into the team because we were bad the year before. They think they got to toughen you up. So I'm live practice, right? And then now I have to go out on Sunday and do it again and entertain. That in itself, I think, lengthens my career. I mean, I'm more dominant. The game is spread out. And I still don't know how officials are calling this crown of the helmet thing, right? So,
right.
Interesting enough, I think the league has good intentions of protecting people, but at the end of the day, you can't guarantee anything. So what I challenge the league and say is take care of the guys afterwards and let the game be what it is. It's physical. It's a physical game. Mm-hmm. And you know, those who choose to play, we live with that.
That's interesting. And I like that because you're right. Take care of the guys. All right. I'm a wrap with this, but you got some legendary dudes that came through Oregon State, and I mentioned them. And I do a show on Saturdays with TJ called Up On Game. do you have any stories on TJ Hushmanzada? Because I'm just curious. I remember him, obviously. He's my generation of players. We're a little bit older than you, but you was in at the same time as us going into Oregon State. Is there anything on TJ Hushmanzada?
I have nothing.
You don't have nothing.
I don't have nothing. He's a good brother. I have nothing on him. He was always one of those guys that actually taught us to have school pride, because before then, you know, before that group got there, it was a losing program.
Right.
To see these guys on Saturday scoring touchdowns, doing the pat down, right? They're on live TV doing like on some hood stuff. You right. Like, no, like I want to roll with them cats. I want to be down with them. So TJ's always been a good dude, man. I can't say one bad thing about him. And he's very passionate about our legends. The way he talks in interviews is the way he talks behind closed doors. And he's very, you know, he gets the little hand slapped on the table when he's making an emphasis. So my thing is just love, man. It's number love and respect for him.
True. All right, before I let you go, man, you just talked about OBS. Is there anything else that you're promoting? Anything else you got going on? Talk to me.
It is. So I have a barber school here in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Okay.
My best friend and I, Carl Littles, he is our master barber and our instructor there. We grew up together in high school.
Okay.
And he's always been someone that actually, he grew with me. And our growth individually, he went out and he wanted to become a educator. And I supported that in the sense that we're ranked 49th in the country as a school district.
Nice.
And there's very limited opportunities here for these youngsters growing up in Vegas outside of industry work. And for us to promote individualism, being original, and being true to who we are, I believe in creating career paths, not just complaining about it, but actually action and doing something about it. So we came together, put our minds to work, and we created this barber school, the original barber school, which is a second meaning for the OBS there, so you can't forget it. But the original barber school here in Las Vegas, we are 100% full with a waiting list just as long as our opening.
Nice.
But it's one that the community has braced. We've given out numerous things to the community. So we're not only taking what we're giving, but we're also giving these young people a career path for them to be able to take advantage in the future. But it's speaking professionalism into them as well as, you know, helping them build up their clientele.
Fire. Is there a website?
It is. So it's a long one. So bear with me. It's the original barber school, LV. Las Vegas. So originalbarberschoollv.com.
Does that mean you're planning on going somewhere else?
Absolutely.
I know that's right. All right. The original barberschoollv.com. Make sure we're going to put that up on the bottom of the screen. All right. Man, is there anything else? I mean, as if that's not enough, but I want to make sure anything that you want to put out there, that you have this opportunity to put it out on the platform. Anything else you got?
Those of that who does not follow me, please follow me on my social media. Most of them, I'm at SJ39 on Twitter. And then on Instagram, I am SJ39. I use my platforms there to hopefully to inspire, to encourage, and to motivate those of you that may be just fans of sports, but also enlightenment. I believe in pushing the narrative, pushing people forward. That's what I stand for. That's what I believe in. So I'm continuing to grow, and I hope you know enjoy if you decide to follow the growth in myself and what I'll be pushing to the rest of the community. Thank you, brother.
Steve Jackson, y'all. This is Conversations with a Legend, presented by Up On Game Presents. Man. Y'all been blessed today. Dope dude. I've been excited about the opportunity of pursuing to get the interview with you. And it's great to hear from you. Continued success to you. And we're going to put this out there because people need to hear the positivity. They need to feel the energy of juggernauts that have played this game, but are humble warriors, man. You're a humble warrior, and you know, I appreciate your approach to what you do and how you do it. And any way we can support you, we're going to continue to support you, man. So we'll probably most likely be in contact with you to make sure we can do just that.
Thank you, brother. That means a lot to me.
My man, Steve Jackson, y'all. Formerly of the Rams, the St. Louis Rams. Played for, I want to say, the Falcons, right?
Yes.
And I know you ended up with Belichick. Maybe we'll do another one. We'll have a whole conversation on that too, because you know, that's always an interesting one. But we got some interesting stuff, but we got time. We'll probably circle up at some point and do it again.
I would love that, man. Please, anytime.
My man. Next time we might do it. We might do it in person. You know what I mean? You never know. We might do it on the face-to-face.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. Make it happen, man.
I appreciate you, man. All right, you be well.
You as well. Thank you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.